Amen. Well, I'm grateful for our musicians and song leader. And we have no doubt some of the best musicians around, and I'm grateful to them for serving the Lord in that way. It is a blessing, amen, for us. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 4. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a blessing for us to be here on a Wednesday night in your house with your word, with your spirit, with your people. I don't know of any better place we could be tonight than here. So thank you for the arrangements that you've made and the abilities that you have given, the resources that we have been allotted so that we can be here tonight together. God, I pray that you would open your word in full revelation of these truths tonight to us. And you would open us to your word to receive it by the grace of God for the glory of God. And if you would do that for us, we would be grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 4. This will be the only verse that we will look at tonight. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he, Abel, obtained witness that he, Abel, was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. And that's God's word for us. And all God's people said, amen. It's a great verse. Last week, we looked at the first three verses of chapter 11. We actually went back and got the last two verses of chapter 10 and the first three verses of chapter 11, where we saw the writer of Hebrews explaining faith. And we learned that faith is confidence of the reality of things we hope for and the expectation that we will absolutely receive them. Faith is the proof that convinces us of these truths by enabling us to see spiritual things that cannot be seen with the natural eye. Faith is the means by which we are approved and accepted by God, and faith is the means by which God gives us a good report. Faith is also how we understand the world and how we view the world. It is by faith we understand that God is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the sovereign ruler over all things. He is the judge of all things and the authority over all things. Beginning in verse number 4, we see the effects of faith. We have examples given to us by which we will discover the various things that faith does or faith accomplishes. Let me just sort of give a little preface here. It's not the men and the women that serve as the examples that are on display. It's not the men or the women, it's not the variety of their experiences, but rather it is the possession of faith that shows itself in various effects in their lives. So what we will see as we slowly go through these examples is that we will see the things that faith does and the benefits that faith brings to those who possess it. The first example of faith that the writer of Hebrews presents to us is that of Abel. By faith. So it begins there, right? By faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. So, the writer of Hebrews is bringing into the New Testament the account that is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let me read that text for you. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, there is something in this passage that if we will think about and make application theologically, it will clear a great deal of theological misunderstandings up. There is a place, and there is a time, and there is a way that we are to worship and come to God. There's a place, there's a time, there's a way. And you can be at the right place. For example, at church. You can be there at the right time, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. But if you don't come in the right way, you will not approach God. And there can be no worship. You can be in church at the right time with every other believer in the church and still not worship God. So the way is essential. That's what's laid out for us here in the text. The writer here says that Abel's sacrifice was better, more excellent than Cain's. Is that what your Bible says? Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, a better sacrifice than Cain. And he offered it by what? By by faith. So there are two ways that we can understand that statement. First is that because Abel was a man of faith and Cain was not, God accepted Abel's sacrifice while he rejected Cain's. So the issue is not the sacrifices per se, but the men themselves. The offering was, the sacrifice was offered by faith, by Abel. So according to that standard, we see that because Cain lacked faith, no matter what Cain offered, it would be rejected. While Abel, offering in faith, would be received. I think that's true. But there is no doubt that there was a difference in the two offerings that were brought. They didn't bring the same offerings, did they? Although Abel brought an offering by faith and Cain brought an offering without faith, the offerings were different. And the reason, I think, you'll get this, it'll help you. The reason that the offerings were different is because one offering was by faith and the other was not. In other words, the possession of faith or the absence of faith determined the offering. Does that make sense? We'll flesh that out as we go if you haven't got it. Now, remember that God had revealed to Adam and Eve the proper way for a sinful man to approach God. How did he do that? Well, he did that when he sacrificed an animal to clothe Adam and Eve in their nakedness after they had sinned in the garden. And so our assumption is that this revelation that God gave Adam and Eve had been taught by Adam and Eve, the parents, to their sons. So Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. It is an offering that was a portion of what came from his own hard labor. God said to Adam, in his curse, that the ground would be what? Cursed. That man would what? Earn his living by the sweat of his brow. So what Cain brought to God came by his hard labor, his efforts, his skill. And I have no doubt that this offering that Cain brought was a beautiful offering, that it was pleasing to the eye, it was sweet to the taste, it was a magnificent offering. But it's not how God revealed man could approach Him. And it is always that way. A man that doesn't have faith, a man that is absent of faith, always thinks that his efforts, his labor, his fruits are enough to merit his approach to God. But a man with faith, a man that has been given faith by God to see what is truly invisible, Abel brought a sacrifice that pointed toward the anointing death of a spotless substitution. So by faith, Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's, not just because Abel's faith made it better, but because by faith he offered the sacrifice that he saw by faith was pleasing to God. Does that make sense? So God is not only approached through a sacrifice, he is only approached by those who by faith approach God by a sacrifice. Say amen. So the sacrifice that Cain brought didn't gain acceptance or approachability to God. Only the offering that Abel brought. So God is not approached by feelings or tradition, but by faith. Not by popular custom, not by common sense, not by human reasoning or personal preference. Abel presented to God for his approach a bleeding lamb. And sinful man is always justified or accepted by God only by faith in a blood sacrifice that God requires and that God has provided. It's why works salvation never works. Say amen. Works look good. Works are impressive. Works require great effort, but they are not the prescribed way in which we approach God. They seem to be, if we lack faith. So this example of Abel and Cain teach us that you cannot come to God any way you choose to come to God. You cannot come to God any way you choose to. You just don't say that you believe in God and then decide for yourself how you're going to come to God. That was Cain's problem. He was coming to God his own way. And in his mind, without faith, his way seemed to be a good way. Just as good as Abel's way. But we must be accepted by God, and only God accepts us on His terms. Who decided that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's? God did. God's approval is on that which is by faith. How angry do you think Cain was when God rejected him and his self-righteous worship? Abel did what God required. Abel did what pleased God. That's the first thing about his act of faith. He brought the right sacrifice that was required by God. And the reason that he brought the right sacrifice is by faith, he could see that was the right sacrifice. So this is an act of obedient faith. By faith, he brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was better because it was blood, and it was better because it was required as a sacrifice for sin by God. And so we see these two ways in which sinful humanity attempts to come to God. One way is the way that points to our own work, our own merits, our own righteousness. There's plenty of that in Pickens County and Independent Baptist churches. Plenty of that stuff. Then there's the right way that always points to Jesus Christ and Him crucified in our place to pay for our sins? How do I come to God? Not through my own merits, not through my own works, not through my own worth. I come to God only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And unless we come to God confessing our guilt and our need of His grace and embracing the gift of His own Son who died in our place, we reject the one way that He has provided. And He hasn't provided a numerous different ways. He's provided one way. And if we don't come that one way, then we, like Cain, will be rejected and condemned for our sins and suffer the eternal pains of eternal torment. So Cain didn't acknowledge his sins. He didn't acknowledge his need for blood sacrifice and atonement. He reveled in his own accomplishments. He thought he could approach God without a sacrifice and without atonement, and he thought he could approach God on his own terms. And he was sadly mistaken. There are people who think they can come to God and they think they can be received by God because of the beauty of their offerings, because of the beauty of their service, because of the duration of their efforts. But God rejects them and their godless worship because there is no blood. And if there is no blood, there is no Christ. And if there is no blood and no Christ, there is no true faith. It doesn't matter how long or how beautiful their service has been. And people can have sincere hearts, and they can have a lot of good works, and they may trust in the sacraments, our religious tradition, our church membership, our baptism, but apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, every other thing will be rejected just like Cain's offering was. Because you have to come by faith in the way that God has provided. And so the writer here says, it was by this faith that Abel was declared to be righteous. By which, by faith, Abel obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. So here's the age-old question that theologians argue about. Was it Abel's faith or was it the offering? And just to summarize, I think it was both. It was by faith that Abel saw that the way to God was through the prescribed way of sacrifice and blood. Without faith, we don't see that. And instead, without faith, we see our efforts and our work of our hands as the acceptable way to God. By faith and by his offerings, both, Abel was declared righteous. Or we could say, Abel was justified by God. See, he obtained witness. Somebody declared that he was righteous. God declares righteousness and God declares justification. So here is the doctrine of justification by faith. So the Hebrews here, this original audience, were being exhorted not to turn back, not to abandon their faith as they were being tempted to, because it is only by faith in Christ alone that sinners are justified by God. There is no other way in which we are justified. There is no other way in which we are made righteous except by faith in Christ alone. That's it. So if you abandon the faith, you abandon any opportunity to be justified before God. And that's the gospel. That's the very core of the gospel. It's the good news that God offers to us in Christ. And he declares that exactly here in the case of Abel. We see how can a sinner be accepted and declared righteous by a holy God? The answer is by faith in Christ Jesus. So God did not respect Abel for what was in Abel. God did not respect Abel because there was something personally in him attractive to God. God respected Abel because of his faith and because of the offering of his faith, because he believed God's revelation about the necessity of coming to God through a blood sacrifice. So Abel, was he just as much of a sinner as Cain was? Was he just as liable to eternal judgment as Cain was? But he believed God, and that faith was counted to him as righteousness. And so here we have the first time that we have recorded in Scripture of righteousness being credited to the account of an obedient sinner. It is credited to his account. God gives testimony that this man Abel has obtained righteousness. His act, which is an act of faith, his offering, which is an act of faith, was an act which brought a righteousness of God to cover him. The doctrine of justification. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Abel honored God, brought the right sacrifice. God honored Abel and imputed righteousness to him. By believing on Jesus Christ, by resting in the saving work for the forgiveness of his sins, by accepting God's word and coming to God the one way that he has prescribed and provided, we are forgiven and we are, as the text says, declared righteous by faith. That's how we have our sins forgiven. That's how we are righteous, by coming to God the way that God said to come, by faith. We're not righteous by works. That was Cain's mistake. That was the cause of his rejection. We are righteous by faith, which declares our need and our acceptance of God's gracious gift of His Son. We must have perfect righteousness, and that only can be ours by faith in the perfect Messiah, Jesus Christ. It is in Christ that God declares and imputes to us righteousness. Abel was a sinner, yet he was justified before God by faith, and that faith caused him to offer the sacrifice of blood. Amen? And then he says, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. So faith bears testimony of Abel, that he is righteous, and now Abel bears testimony about faith. Abel bears testimony of the value of faith, the worth of faith, the power of faith to justify those who trust in Christ. I have learned that nothing makes a legalist angrier than the gospel of free grace. Nothing makes a religious person madder than to talk about justification by faith. A rejected Cain, what did he do? Did he repent? Did he do the right thing? What did Cain do once he was rejected for bringing the fruit of his hands? He killed his brother. He silenced his testimony. Or at least he attempted to silence his testimony, but actually he did the opposite. The Bible says here, Abel, a man of faith, still speaks to us today about faith. How does Abel speak to us today about faith? In his word. That's how he speaks to us. He's speaking to us tonight. Say amen. Although Abel is dead, although Cain, his brother, slew him, the voice of Abel continues to speak to us through the scripture, and his message is that it is by faith that man approaches and is pleasing to God. The message is clear. If you want to come to God, you come only by faith in His Word. Not by works, not by efforts. You come only by faith in His Word and obedience to what He requires, not by your works. Having faith means you can't ignore what God has said. Having faith means you believe it and you act upon it. So there's this hymn. Horatius Bonner wrote a hymn entitled, "Not What My Hands Have Done." And the hymn echoes Abel's testimony. Here's what it says. "Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. No other work save thine, no other blood will do. No strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. I praise the God of grace. I trust His truth and might. He calls me His. I call Him mine. My God, my joy, my light." Because Abel believed, he offered a better sacrifice. The believing caused him to offer a better or a right sacrifice. And because he offered the right or better sacrifice, God testifies that this was evidence that he had been declared righteous. And because he had been declared righteous, he is for all ages a voice declaring this great truth of justification by faith. And if you don't think that's a big deal, men have given their lives defending that truth. It is a big deal. The Reformation was about that truth. Justification by faith alone. And not only that, heaven and hell hang in the balance. Say amen. Because everyone who comes to God and unloads their efforts and unloads their own self-righteousness and their own labor and their own works of their hands, they're going to be rejected by God. God is going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It is only those who come to God by faith in the blood and the work of Jesus Christ that receive the righteousness of Christ and the approval or the acceptance to approach God. Amen? Not by our works. I don't care what the priest says. I don't care what the Pope says. I don't care what the Baptist pastor says. I care what the Bible says. We come to God by faith alone. And all God's people said, Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word.